Good morning. Coming up on 7:40 here on the Mighty 690, we have continuing to watch a line of thunderstorms moving out of the area now, pretty much out of Coffeyville at this point, going through Edna, getting ready to enter Chautauqua at this point, and also Welch down across the state line. We have had just a minute or so ago a cancellation for the severe thunderstorm watch for Nowata County. So just so you know, that watch now has been dropped. We still continue to have watches through 10 o'clock for Northeast Oklahoma and Northwest Arkansas. Joining us now in studio, we have State Senator Virgil Peck. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Good morning. Yes, sir. When I headed to the vehicle at my house, those storms you were talking about were right there. So
they were there. They were ready for you.
They were ready for me, and just downpour running to the car. But then I got over to Coffeyville. It's like, well, where's the rain? It is raining.
Yeah,
not like it was west of here, but of course it's moving, as you just indicated to the listeners.
Well,
it's moving west.
I felt bad because I did the rain gauge reading, and there really wasn't anything in there, so I felt kind of I gypped everyone this morning. But I had to put in goose eggs. It was sad,
okay.
Even though it's coming, kind of coming down. So
well, there should be something here eventually.
Yep, I got to follow the rules though. It's 7 o'clock sharp. We got to check it. So
okay,
yep,
well, if you've got specific guidelines, yep. We know that you're a man of. Integrity and a man of rules.
That's
there,
right.
James.
That's right. Well, hey, well, I know we've got a few things you want to talk about here this morning, and you got kind of a anniversary of sorts coming up, which is not as much of a happy one, I guess, but something that you know, is kind of important.
Yes, that's it. First anniversary tomorrow of when we buried Mom, and you know, the first one, and after time goes on, you kind of lose that. Emotional feeling, but Mom passed away, and a year ago tomorrow is when we buried her. My brother Tyro Dan, which that's what people call him because he ran Tyro Bargains for a long time. He now works at Airgas here in Coffeyville, and so just a little shout out to bro here, and realizing that James, it kind of reminded me in thinking about Mom's anniversary, we all leave a legacy. And what kind of legacy are we going to leave? Now, some people's legacy certainly is a whole lot larger than other individuals, depending on their position in life. However, you can have a real legacy, a real impact on your family. And I just would ask the listeners to think about that. What kind of legacy are you leaving? What are you doing that's really going to impact future generations? Some of the things that I have done will impact future generations, not so positively. I'm not proud of that. Hopefully I'm turning that around and making more of a positive impact. But not only what kind of a legacy you're going to leave, James, I'm not a preacher. I'm not going to preach this morning. But, you know, there's that life after death thing. There's two choices. You're either going to go to one place that's splendored, wonderful, with a lot of splendor, or a place that's, well, you just don't want to go there. And so I just thought, since this was an anniversary of Mom's burial, tomorrow, I just might mention that and just get that off my chest and to move on to some other things. But it kind of got my attention. I'm 63 years of age, not that old. Mom was 82 when she passed. But again, every single person listening, it's appointed unto man once to die. And we're all going to die. And,
yep. Yep. We don't get out of here alive.
that's what they say. Yeah, there's. Yep. And then they talk about there's two certain things in life, death and taxes.
And we sure talk about taxes.
We sure talk about taxes. Hey, right now there's something going on. Speaking of a little bit of a legacy, if you will, the legislature passed during this last session Senate Bill 180, the Women's Bill of Rights, which basically says this is a female, this is a woman, a girl or a woman, and then this is a male, a man or a boy. And they are two separate genders, and they have two separate spaces. That law took effect on the first of this month. However, a part of that law says that school districts and other state agencies do have to list the gender of an individual at their birth. And birth certificates cannot be left with no gender designated, because some people in some larger areas are starting to say, well, we'll let our child choose their gender as they get older. It's like, you got to be kidding me. But anyway, that's a personal opinion. Oh, and by the way, Ron Bryce is usually in on this Friday, but he's doing some other things today.
That's
and
right.
Enjoying time.
Yeah, so you always get called up, you know.
I get called up, but
you always come pretty much.
When Ron asked me about coming, I said, well, I guess I can tell everyone that whatever I say is endorsed by you, correct?
I guess, yeah, there you go.
I don't think that's what Ron had in mind.
Well, you know.
But anyway, so back to the battle. The governor has told the Kansas Department of Revenue, driver's license examiners, and health departments, which is vital statistics, that they can continue making gender changes on driver's license and birth certificates. That's not what the law says. It's very specific in the Section 1, C. I'll just read it. I've got a copy of the law here. It'll be real brief. I know that generally you don't like to read stuff on the air, but it says any school district or public school thereof and any state agency, department, or office or political subdivision that collects vital statistics for the purpose of complying with anti-discrimination laws or for the purpose of gathering accurate public health, crime, economic, or other data shall, not a may, a shall, identify each individual who is part of the collected data as either male or female at birth. So to me, James, is pretty specific and pretty clear in Senate Bill 180, the intent of the legislature. But we've got a lawsuit going, which is costing taxpayer dollars.
I was going to ask, okay, you know, when the governor is doing something that appears to be contrary to the law, who's going to be, quote-unquote, the adult in the room to deal with this? Is just a lawsuit? Is how we do this, I guess?
That's sadly the truth. It's going now before a judge, which is, that's also a little bit frustrating to me because a judge is one person. The legislature is 165 individuals who have duly passed the law. As a reminder, yes, the legislature passed the law. The governor vetoed Senate Bill 180. Then the legislature overrode the governor's veto, so it does become law contrary or against the governor's wishes. So that may be some of the situations. And I'm not meaning necessarily to beat up on the governor, but it's just frustrating to me that the legislature passes a law, someone doesn't like it in a high position, so they say, okay, I'm just not going to enforce it. That's not the way it works, James. It's just not supposed to work that way. It's supposed to be the law is the law. But our attorney general has stepped up, and by the way, currently in Kansas, there has been a stay on the governor's telling agencies they don't have to comply, and they do have to comply because of this judge's ruling. But November the 1st is when the court case will go before the court, before the judge, and hopefully the judge will say, yeah, it's pretty clear. Senate Bill 180 is not discriminatory. It says, lists the gender of a person at birth according to the definitions in law, and that'll be the end of it. But we shall see.
All right, well, you said that we have a little bit of news to share as well regarding some incentive programs and some specific companies in Kansas and kind of related to Oklahoma as well.
Yeah, we do have listeners in Oklahoma and Kansas, of course. In 2022, the legislature in Kansas passed Senate Bill 347, and Senate Bill 347 is called the APEX Bill. APEX stands for Attracting Powerful Economic Expansion, which if you look at those letters, they don't even match up because expansion starts with an E. But, hey, government, sometimes we just use whatever letters we
want. Yeah, you got to make it rhyme or yes. You know, be an acronym or something.
Yeah, got to have an acronym. Yep. The APEX was a $1.27 billion incentive to bring Panasonic, and this was one that we were told, James, we have to rush this through. We were not told anything about who it was, what industry. We kind of got word, but we didn't know when we passed this. Who are we providing an incentive for? What type of industry are they involved in? And it was rushed through. I voted no. I was one of 9 senators to vote no to this legislation. There were several House members, I think 41 House members that voted no. Representative, it's public record, but Representative Doug Blex also voted no. So Montgomery County current legislators voted no. Ron was not in the legislature, so he didn't have a vote. But we passed that legislation, $1.27 billion to attract a $4 billion plant, Panasonic, where they are going to build electric vehicle batteries. Okay. $1.27 billion. As a part of the Inflation Reduction Act at the federal level, there are also incentives for plants such as the one that's going to be in DeSoto, which is in Johnson County. And so it looks like what they passed in the Inflation Reduction Act was a total of $6.8 billion for the Johnson County plant. So James, when I looked at the numbers, okay, the state, 1.2, federal, 6.8, that's $8 billion in incentives for a $4 billion plant. Well, man alive, that just doesn't make sense to me. And then we talked about Oklahoma. Oklahoma, they did pass some incentives or subsidies, and theirs is much lower, $700 million, which is a little more than half of what Kansas passed. But their plant is a $5 billion plant, $1 billion more than Kansas. So my point in bringing this up is twofold. One, I just think it's important for Kansas taxpayers to know what their legislature is doing, and for Oklahoma as well to pay attention. But is this really a good thing for the state of Kansas? Well, yes, there may be some benefits. But what about the rest of our businesses? They are currently paying taxes. These established businesses, I think of the businesses here in Coffeyville, in Montgomery County, Neosho County, Labette County, they have been paying taxes. They're going to continue paying taxes. They're providing economic benefit. They're providing jobs. But we haven't given them any real incentives. But we're doing this for this electric vehicle battery manufacturing plant to try to bring them in. It bothers me, James, that why do we have to have so much taxpayer money to bring in this industry? If it's a good thing, if it's beneficial to our country, to our state, they should come in anyway if they're going to make money. But it raises a lot of questions. But one is, are these electric vehicle battery manufacturing plants going to be a real economic benefit? Yeah, they'll provide jobs, but if we've got to give away that much money. But by the way, the plants build the batteries for electric vehicles. Currently, auto manufacturers, they build their own combustible engines, gasoline, diesel, ethanol, compressed natural gas. They build their own combustion engine at the plant. These batteries, pardon me, are built in a separate location than the vehicles, the electric vehicles are. And so that's the reason that they've got the separate. And there's no wage requirements, by the way, for this incentive for the Inflation Reduction Act at the federal level. In other words, they're not going to say you have to pay X amount of dollars to get these incentives, whatever the job is. I thought, well, since I'm on this topic, I did some looking, and listeners may be curious, well, aren't we selling a whole lot more electric vehicles? Well, they're starting to pick up sales of electric vehicles. In 2022, there were 10 million electric vehicles sold around the world. That's one in seven car sales. So it's a significant part of the market. And just 2 years previous to that, it was one in 20. So there is an increasing amount, but how much will it increase? I know some people that they really love electric vehicles, and I got that. But I have no problem with electric vehicles, but is it worth the incentive of what we are doing at the state and federal level? Now, in the United States, back to the electric vehicle sales, U.S. sales rose from 294,000 in 2020 to nearly a million in 2022, so about three times the amount in 2 years. Now, a part of this is additional things that I thought would be good for me to mention on the air this morning.
Yeah.
One, Evergy, which is the largest power supplier in the state of Kansas. Evergy is already looking for a rate increase, and they're saying, you know, with this power plant, they're going to consume as much power as a small city, so we're going to have to enhance our infrastructure, which means we're going to have to, Evergy is going to have to spend a lot of money, lay out a lot of investment. So now Evergy is looking at asking for another rate increase for this power plant. So again, James, it's going to hit taxpayers in the pocketbook for this power plant. And then another thing, I guess I'll just sort of mention this as I wrap up on the electric vehicles. And it's, again, I'm not a fan of electric vehicles. I don't oppose them, but I don't really care if a person wants them. But I just don't want to give a lot of my tax dollars to incentivize this industry. What about the money that we bring in currently on the fuel tax that pays for our roads? In Kansas, by constitution, the motor vehicle fuel tax, 24 cents a gallon on gasoline, 26 cents a gallon on diesel does go toward road maintenance, road and bridge maintenance and repair and construction by constitution. So it's always gone there. But as we use less fuel, we have less revenue, and the roads still need maintained. And these electric vehicles, James, are much heavier.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They go through tires much quicker, too. I know.
So that's a part of it, mm-hmm. which maybe we need to put a tax on tires. No, I don't like that idea. I don't like putting a tax on anything. But somehow or another, we've got to figure out how are the drivers of electric vehicles going to kick in to help maintain the roads that we all drive on. And when we drive on them, we do some damage.
Sure. Yeah, I was curious. Yeah, what else has been kicked around as far as trying to figure that out?
Well, of course, you can't put a fuel tax on them because there's no fuel. No. Or you could put a tax on the charging, but then what about when you turn on your air conditioner at home or your cook stove?
Everyone pretty much uses electricity, so
so that's not really an option, I don't believe. There are three states: Oregon, Utah, and Virginia. They have started generating revenue from a road usage charges. There's been discussion in Kansas about a per mileage charge on electric vehicles or other vehicles, but I think it should be confined to electric vehicles because gasoline power is already paying for our roads. But some type of a mileage tax, however many miles you drive, okay, you've got to pay a tax to help pay for the roads. And it's really a serious issue that we've got to figure out in the legislature, because there is a growing gap between what revenues generated and the transportation cost, which they are going up, and road construction. So this is sort of a big discussion, an overall discussion as it relates to electric vehicles. And what it's a new industry, but the incentives did and do bother me. They just do. It just doesn't seem right to take taxpayer dollars from individuals and from current businesses to incentivize this business to come in. And then the fact that they're looking to increase electric charges on all of us, and then we're looking at a reduction in revenue for our highways. So got to figure all these out.
Sure.
The fun of being a legislator.
Yeah, I know. You got a lot to look at there. And then, I would think more of a private sector problem with the power consumption. But, those companies like you mentioned, Evergy and all those are going to have to figure out a way to generate that. And what are they going to look to? Well, it's probably going to be traditional fossil fuels. Unless you scale up some of these renewables a little bit more, but we know that throughout the day, usually this peak part of the day is the wind's not blowing, and so I pull it up and I actually watch it throughout the day, we get to a part of the middle of the day where we're mostly coal and natural gas for most of the country that's providing our energy needs through these peak part of the days.
You're absolutely right. Renewable energy is nice, but that is also heavily taxpayer subsidized. The wind energy, which I'm not a fan of at all. I don't mind the wind energy, except these big turbines. The wind energy has not been a good neighbor to the people that have been close to the turbines. Go over in Labette County, Neosho County.
Yeah, you don't even bring that up over there.
Wind energy is not it. Solar provides some, but it doesn't provide any when there's no sunshine, when it's raining, or when it's dark. So you're right. Petroleum, I'm a fan kind of nuclear power, because like what we've got in Wolf Creek, that's been a great place for generating power. I would like to see more nuclear power plants in the state of Kansas, and I realize that there's concern about nuclear. I got all that, but there's a lot of concern. There's no perfect right now way to generate power.
Whether it's
coal, petroleum. There's hydro, water could be used, and so forth.
Well, right now, nuclear is providing 5% of our power at this moment, and hydro is 3%. So
okay.
Right as we speak. We can watch it live here.
Okay, so we're still 92% is being...
Well, and then at this moment, we have 19% wind, but that's going to drop down here today. They have forecasts on that, and that goes way down during the peak part of the days usually. So we can use a lot of wind overnight, and then it'll drop down pretty significantly during the middle part of the day.
Well, you are a wealth of information here,
James.
I try to be. You have got resources. You must have people in high places.
I got my, yeah, I do. I got the, those. Pick up that phone there, speaking, including you. So, okay. As we wrap up here today, Roger Peck, anything else you want to share with the listeners?
Well, just a little bit of good news. I've talked a lot about some things that aren't really positive, but crime is down in the state of Kansas in 2022. The statistics are coming in from the Kansas Bureau of Investigation, and crime is down from 2022 to 2021. However, it's not down as much as the 10-year average. It's not down to that level. But that's good news.
Okay.
Crime is down. So we'll just sort of leave it at that. And I appreciate the time. We'll always run out of time.
I know.
I've still got two pages to cover here.
I know, right? Hey, well, it's good to leave on a positive note there, sir. Appreciate you stopping by and hope you have a great weekend.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate it.
State Senator Virgil Peck here on the Mighty 690. We got news coming up on our Ask the Expert segments on the way. 70 degrees right now in Coffeyville.